This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day, everyone. Welcome to the Podium Finish Live, or TPF Live, episode number 95. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen, and I'm joined alongside Nathan Solomon, my friend and co-host, and senior at St. Bonaventure University. We are back in our first off-season edition of our show. Yes, it's the post-Phoenix edition and pre-everything before the LA Clash edition of our show. So for the time being, we're going to be still doing our podcast weekly. And then once things kind of slow down, we might go back to a bi-weekly format until we get to the Busch Light Clash at the LA Coliseum in February 2024. If that doesn't make you feel old, folks, that means you were probably born in the 2000s like Nathan. But if you're not, and you're like me, saying the year 2024 is not a fun thing to say out loud. But anyways, we hope you've been doing really well, folks. We know it's the off-season, and it's a little rough when it's the off-season without any stock car action. But nevertheless, Nathan and I are going to try to be the men of the people, if you will, and give you guys some good content, because today we have some really good content with the hot seat today. We've got Todd Gilliland, driver of the number 38 Front Row Motorsports Ford Mustang entry in the NASCAR Cup Series. Todd had a really decent season for Front Row Motorsports, and Nathan got to catch up with him during the Xfinity 500 race weekend at Martinsville Speedway. So a little bit later on, we're going to hear from Nathan as he talks to Todd from the racetrack. But in the meantime, let's go bring in Nathan, because he's back after a one-week reprieve, because as you know, folks, he's a senior. Lots of things are going on. So Nathan, in your whirlwind world, how are things going?
Yeah, things are good. I've been busy. I mean, I've had a lot of basketball stuff on Wednesdays now. That season's getting completely ramped up, so I'm busy, but it's good. I mean, this is my first time back on, I guess, since Martinsville. That was obviously a very fun, very enjoyable weekend down there. Being able to cover that race was very awesome. Exciting, a couple of exciting races there, especially the Xfinity side, which we don't have to harp on that anymore, but yeah, it's crazy. The season's over. Crazy to think that we're transitioning in off-season mode, but it's only, I always think of it as 3 months, right? It's really only a three-month off-season, and, you know, Christmas is right around the corner, and by the time Christmas rolls around, that's literally like the halfway point of the off-season, and come January 1st, it's, you know, let's hit the ground running to get ready for the Busch Clash. So it'll go by quick, so I will try to enjoy the moments of the off-season, but it'll be a little weird not turning on the television to watch the race on Sunday.
Yep, because it's going to be the first weekend where neither of us are going to be putting on NBC or USA or even the NBC Sports app to see the action on the track. So it'll go by quick. It's just 3 months, as you said, and before you know it, we're probably going to complain about stuff that goes on at the LA Clash. That's human nature. It's all good, because we got St. Bonaventure Bonnies to think about for these next several weeks. But if you don't like college basketball, don't worry. We'll still talk about racing on this podcast. Any event, folks, let's go hear from our presenting sponsor, SpoilerDieCast.com. Hey, racing fans, are you in the hunt for the latest and greatest in diecast cars? Head on over to SpoilerDieCast.com to get the latest offerings in Lionel Racing, NASCAR collectibles, IndyCar collectibles from Greenlight Collectibles, and much more. If you spend $20 or more in in-stock or pre-order items, you can save 5% off your order and get free shipping with promo code TPF. So head on over to SpoilerDieCast.com, spend $20 or more, and use promo code TPF to get free shipping and 5% off your order. Evan and his team get those orders out fast in lightning speed fashion. A proud sponsor of TPF Live. With Christmas just around the corner in the holiday season, like Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever holiday you celebrate, SpoilerDieCast.com is a great shopping destination to get merchandise such as diecast cars, apparel, jackets, you name it. SpoilerDieCast.com has it. So use that promo code TPF to get 5% off your orders of $20 or more and free shipping. You're not only going to get some discounts, but you're also going to be helping out TPF to get some money into the bank and hopefully get us to do more things in 2024. So do some shopping, support TPF. It's a win-win situation for sure. Why don't we get to it, folks, right now with Pony Perspectives, presented by, of course, SpoilerDiecast.com. Well, Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series Championship race at Phoenix Raceway, which, by the way, folks, I don't understand why we don't have event names and sponsor details. But anyways, the season finale for the NASCAR Cup Series pitted Ryan Blaney, Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, and William Byron in a winner-takes-all championship race. Now, you didn't have to win the race to win the championship. You just had to be ahead of the three other drivers in order to win the Cup Championship. Would this be a factor on Sunday? Yes, it would, because for the first time since this knockout format was introduced in 2014, this year's NASCAR Cup Series champion did not win the race. Believe it or not, folks, the non-playoff drivers looked like they were ready to play, such as Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, and a holy host of other drivers as well. Martin Truex Jr. looked strong. Kevin Harvick in his last ever race as a full-time Cup driver, he looked good as well. I mean, we had all kinds of different drivers at the front of the field, but of course, we had our championship four drivers, minus Christopher Bell, looking really, really good on Sunday afternoon. However, though, Christopher Bell ran into problems and crashed out of the race rather early and unfortunately ended his chance to go and win his first Cup Series championship. So that left the Hendrick boys, Kyle Larson and William Byron, going against Team Penske's Ryan Blaney. And was Ryan Blaney going to be deterred? Absolutely not. The only person I think he was really pissed off with on Sunday might have been Ross Chastain. But Ross didn't back down. He raced him hard, and that's his prerogative. And Ross went on to win his second race of the season and remind us, folks, that he could be a championship four contender next year. Meanwhile, Ryan Blaney was able to outlast and outmaneuver Larson and Byron to win his first ever Cup Series championship. It was a magnificent moment for the Ohio native turned High Point, North Carolina resident or native, as now this young man who won his first NASCAR stock car race at Phoenix, well, albeit in the ARCA Menards Series West series, its spiritual successor in that case in 2012. Well, 11 years later, he's a champion. And it seems like it's a fairly popular situation, Nathan, to have Ryan as our Cup Series championship winning driver. So how huge was this for YRB and for Team Penske, especially for the latter to win its second championship in a row?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, how about that? I mean, I think the biggest takeaway out of all of this is that through 2 years of the next gen era, everybody, including myself, criticized Ford for their lack of speed, their lack of performance. Yet, Ford is 2-0 when it comes to winning championships, and in particular, Team Penske is 2-0 in winning championships in this next gen era. Of course, Logano winning last year, and Ryan Blaney winning this year. I mean, he got hot when it mattered, you know. You look at his results over the last four races. He finished sixth at Las Vegas. Obviously, he got disqualified, but got the result back. Ended up finishing. I think he finished in the top. So I want to say he finished top five at Homestead. Yeah, I think he was second at Homestead, first at my at Martinsville, and then second at Phoenix. So that's finishing the season hot. Of course, he won at Talladega in the round of 12. I mean, so in the end, I mean, you can have all the playoff points you want, but with this format, it's all about who gets hot towards the end of the year. And Ford and Team Penske have had that proven track record at Phoenix. So I think those two factors together were a great combination for Blaney and good for him. I mean, he's one of the most popular drivers in the sport. This feels like a really popular championship and 2023, I guess, victory for the sport, if you will, just because of his popularity and the respect that his competitors have and the respect that the fans have for him. So good to see him win. I know a lot of people were pretty critical of him after last season because he went winless. A lot of people called him out and said he's kind of overrated, but he really shut some haters up this year by winning three times and winning the championship. So good for him, and good for Ford. And you know, Ryan Blaney's got himself a championship now. We'll just have to see what more he can accomplish now after this season.
I think it's ironic that both of us were like, Ford's crap, and they're struggling, like you said, with a Gen 7 stock car. And it turns out they knew what they were doing. And they're kind of like those wild card teams that you see in the World Series that, they didn't have the greatest record. And guess what? They happen to be the two teams that made it into the World Series. And of course, I'm alluding to Texas and Arizona, where Texas won the World Series. And then Ryan Blaney, it's not to say he didn't have a bad season. He had a good season. He won crown jewel events. And as you mentioned, Nathan, his team had the fortitude to overcome the distractions after Las Vegas with that DQ. Then they brought him back to finish inside the top 10. And then lo and behold, I felt like that lit a fire underneath them, because at Homestead, they almost won it. Martinsville, they won it. And then at Phoenix, they had a car capable of winning the race as well. So I guess the moral of the story is if you put Ryan Blaney and crew chief Jonathan Hassler against the wall, well, they're going to respond in kind, and they're not going to take too kindly to being shown up like that. They're going to say, nope, we are for real, and we're going to show you folks what we can do. And I'm really, really happy to see Ryan win a cup championship, just because he's been around for a while as a young driver. In fact, he was our very first NASCAR driver to be on the hot seat back in 2012 with our former co-host Emma Blaney, now Emma Conley. So congrats to the Blaney family on this. And I'm sure his father, the Buckeye Bullet Dave, is also really thrilled about his baby boy winning the Cup championship. We got to bring Emma Black. We've got to bring Emma back into the podcast, because I'm kind of wondering if she was still in a glass case of emotions about what happened at Phoenix. So hopefully we can make that happen for you folks sometime down the road. Now, Ford wasn't only happy about winning the Cup championship on Sunday. They were pretty darn strong on Saturday night in the NASCAR Xfinity Series season finale, because lo and behold, Cole Custer, who was quote unquote demoted to the Xfinity Series, well, what does he do at Phoenix? He does the one thing that folks discounted him on doing. He won the damn race. And not only did he do that, he won the championship. Now, for a while, it looked like, yeah, John Hunter Nemechek, he had this in the bag. Justin Allgaier, flat track specialist, won at Martinsville. He knows how to get the victories in those gritty situations. And then who knows about Sam Mayer? I mean, he won his first oval race at Homestead a couple of weeks ago. And honestly, maybe he could have factored into it. But when it really mattered, it was a battle between Nemechek and Custer. And it almost brought back feelings about what happened at Mosport in 2016. In fact, some of our folks in our chat room are saying, is Cole Custer going to knock out JHN and get revenge on him? No, Custer raced him cleanly, aggressively, but respectfully. And in the end, Cole Custer's car was just a little bit too good for everyone else to touch. And Cole won in Stone Cold Custer fashion, looking like Stone Cold Steve Austin in the process. So Nathan, I'm kind of curious, since you've been following the Xfinity series so intently, what's next for Cole? Is he going to be an Xfinity lifer? Is there a chance for him to get back to the Cup Series at some point? Where do you see things going for our newest NASCAR Xfinity Series champion?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, right now it's looking, well, he is coming back to the Xfinity Series next year. I know he signed on to return to that double zero car in 2024. Beyond 2024, it's certainly possible he ends up in the Cup Series. Who knows what the future looks like with some of these guys over at Stewart Haas Racing. I mean, that driver lineup for next year is pretty widely unproven in Cup, outside of Briscoe making the round of eight last year. Obviously, we don't officially know who's going to be in the 10, but there's certainly lots of indications on who that driver is going to be. But yeah, just a lot of unproven guys there right now. So I think there's a chance that he could move up down the road. He obviously is familiar with the next gen car because he drove it last year. But right now, if I'm Cole Custer, though, I think I'm kind of happy staying in the Xfinity Series, because I know we said Ford struggled all year, but really, I mean, Stewart Haas was really atrocious this year. I mean, Team Penske could at least win some races. Stewart Haas went winless this year, and that's not good for them. I mean, they won three times last year, I believe. Yeah, three times, I think. Once with Briscoe and twice with Harvick. This year, they didn't get to victory lane at all. And there's only a couple of races this year where they had maybe one car in contention of winning races. So, at least until they get that Cup program shirt up, I think Cole Custer ought to be pretty happy staying down in the Xfinity Series, where he has one of the best cars in the field. But good for him. That green-white checkered finish was really exciting. I mean, all four guys that were competing for the championship were basically side-by-side coming out of Turn 2 there with two to go. They raced orderly, unlike the Truck Series, which I'm sure we'll get into that. that was a cluster, man. But they raced hard, they raced clean. And I mean, another disappointment though for JRM. They started off the season kind of struggling a little bit. They really got it together in the second half of the year. They got two cars in more than any other organization, and again, they were not able to come home with the championship. So it just feels like JRM has really struggled at Phoenix the last couple of years, a track where they really need to be good at. I mean, last year they had three cars in the Champ Four and they didn't win the championship, and this year they only had two. But you know, Sam Mayer had the momentum, and Justin Allgaier had the track record at Phoenix. So I was really thinking one of those guys were going to get it done. But nonetheless, very happy for Cole, and I'm sure he'll win a lot more races next year in the Xfinity Series as well.
Yeah, Cole Custer certainly has shown that he's been the man to go win the championship in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, because let's not forget, folks, before he went to the Cup Series in 2020, what did he do in 2018 and 2019? Oh, yeah, he finished runner-up in the championship. And he almost got it from Tyler Reddick, I think, in 2019 in that great season finale at Homestead. So he's a much more polished, mature driver. And like you said, to your point, Nathan, if I'm him, I wouldn't mind sticking around in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and winning races and going for championships again. He's back with his team. He's got a great crew chief in Jonathan Toney and getting the job done. So I really think that the 00 car is going to be really fast next season. And in particular, he should be the odds-on favorite for the 2024 NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship. Even if we see some different drivers coming back to the NASCAR Xfinity Series, I won't speculate on who that is. But all I can say is, let's go see what happens with Colic Racing next season, as well as seeing officially where Sheldon Creed ends up for next year. Unless Austin Hill really did tell us the truth that Martin Zilvich, Nathan got an up-close view of all of that. So we'll follow that story, and we'll say what's officially going on when that's official in terms of what happens with Sheldon Creed. But for Cole Custer, congrats to him on a great season for the Ladera Ranch California driver. Now, one driver who I think a lot of folks were looking forward to seeing winning a championship again would be Louisville, Kentucky's Ben Rhodes, the driver of the number 99 Thor Sport Racing Ford F-150. As Nathan said earlier, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Championship race at Phoenix was a mess, a total mess. If you folks were in the East Coast and watched the race, I'm going to say, and I'm not trying to be offensive religiously, God bless your soul for sticking around that long. I live in Texas, so we're in the Central Time Zone, and let me tell you, that was rough. The race started shortly after, I would say after 10 p.m. East Coast time. And it's probably not an exaggeration to say the race ended just after 1 a.m. East Coast time, which if you were feeling a zombie on Saturday, I don't blame you. But we're NASCAR folks, right? You're a fan, you got to watch it. So the Truck Series Championship race, it looked like it was going to be nice and clean-ish. I mean, we had that incident with Corey Heim and Carson Hocifar by turn two, a little bit later in the race. And unfortunately, that incident was more of a result of Hocifar just being over-aggressive more than he was trying to be dirty and wreck him, much to the chagrin of Toyota racers, by the way. But in any event, it seemed like, you know, Heim was going to have the truck to catch up, and he did. Got back into the top 10, flirted with the top five. But when it became pretty clear that he was not going to win the championship in the Truck Series, unfortunately, he did a Jeff Gordon, Clint Bowyer situation off of turn two, and it was pretty cheap and gutless, in my opinion. And then, you know, NASCAR did deal out a penalty on Wednesday afternoon, but it doesn't really matter what. He drops to fourth in the point standings and lost a little bit of money, but it doesn't change the fact that Hocifar lost a chance to go for the championship. And he could have, because based on the finish on Friday night, nobody seemed like they wanted to win the championship, in my opinion, except for Ben Rhodes, who, albeit a really torn up truck, and Grant Infinger coming up just a little bit short with his valiant comeback. We saw Ben Rhodes win his second championship. And yes, folks, his postseason championship conference was a bit of a doozy. And if I may recall, he even questioned the existence of dinosaurs. Ben, alcohol does some crazy things to your mind. But anyways, Nathan, is life okay for Ben Rhodes to be a lifer in the Truck Series? And should he be proud of the way he won the Truck Series championship in what was really a crash mart race?
Yeah, I mean, Ben Rhodes didn't really do anything wrong, so of course, I mean, I think he should definitely be proud of the way he won, because he did everything he needed to do. I mean, he got some damage there towards the end because Zane Smith missed a shift on a late restart, which again, that's not dirty racing or, anything. I don't want to call it out of the ordinary, but like it's not the Truck Series BS, right? It's just it happens. He ran to the back of him, and he was pretty beat up there at the front, and it was a battle though, because I mean Grant Enfinger had fresher tires, so he was coming quick on that last restart, but yeah, that was really chaotic and not a good watch, not a good look for the sport. It happens, I guess. I mean, Carson Hofstra got too aggressive. I know he didn't mean to do it, but he did end up taking Corey Heim out and pretty much ending his chance of winning the championship. And then with a couple laps to go, Heim got back to Hosovar and wrecked him and wrecked himself as well, basically really taking both of them out. And so I think NASCAR handled that right, even though Heim claimed that he didn't wreck him on purpose. It looked pretty intentional to me. NASCAR certainly deemed that as well. And then just those NASCAR overtime restarts, man, those were just, what are we doing? Like, guys battling for 18th, wrecking each other. It's just unbelievable. So, it felt like the Truck Series was doing better, and then it just has a race like that. So, definitely leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth going into the off season. I hope that they find a way to, I don't want to say restructure the Truck Series, but they need to convey a better message to these Truck Series drivers going into next season. So hopefully the racing will be a little bit better and a little bit cleaner, because clearly that series is not being policed well enough right now. So hopefully that is an initiative from NASCAR over the winter to police that series a little bit harder and a little bit tougher. But congrats to Ben. Even though he won once this year, he did what he needed to do when it mattered, and he knows how to win these things, so good for him.
Yeah, Ben Rhodes is such a great personality, great driver, and I love the fact that after the post-race conference, I think he invited the media to go join him at Topgolf Glendale, and then he wasn't supposed to
Again.
do that. Yeah, I
That
know,
because
right?
he called everybody, all the media members, his very close and tight-knit group of friends for the second year.
Well, I hope he means that. Nah, he's a riot. He's great. And I just love the fact that he said the dinosaurs aren't real. So you bet your bottom dollar, folks, that we will give him a hard time about that when he's a little bit sobered up and joining us for a future hot seat interview. And you folks, you remember in the hot seat interview we did with him earlier this year, he was looking for some cow recommendations for steaks. So keep bringing them over to me and I'll read them off to him. And hey, maybe he'll send you something. I don't know. But Ben, congrats on that championship. And at least it wasn't something about libations like he did in 2021. Oh boy. But to your point, Nathan, you bring up a good situation about the Truck Series. And to me, there is a lot of craziness in terms of the lack of policing. And I don't want to say like they need to go and they have to do everything about pulling out every action. You want to see aggression on the track, but it seems like the Truck Series needs a stable director to go and keep an eye on it, because unfortunately, I don't want to get too personal about it, but late this year, the director of the Truck Series got arrested for some personal matters off the track, and it was shared that he wouldn't return for next year. So they need some stability from the director side of things to go and better police things, so that a lot of the drivers, and Nathan can attest to this, a lot of the drivers in the Truck Series talk to us about the lack of respect, the lack of knowing when to pick and choose battles. And that was a problem all year of the Truck Series. We don't want to see it become a joke and become ARCA pickup truck style. You want it to be a good series. And I'm not dissing ARCA in that right too. I'm just saying that people make up crap about ARCA and ARCA brakes. Well, I would argue that truck brakes were pretty bad this year. So I would love to see some improvement as well. And I stand with Nathan on that stance with the Truck Series. Now, normally for our last topic in Podium Perspectives, this would be winning time, but nobody's going to be winning on winning time because there's no races unless you talk about F1. And I'll speak on behalf of Nathan for the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Max Verstappen will win the race. So we're not going to go any farther on that. Sorry, folks. But let's talk about a driver specifically within the NASCAR ranks or even motorsports in general that's impressed us, but didn't get much attention from the beginning of this year. But now we're paying attention to him or her at the end of the season. So, Nathan, which driver do you think was kind of an unsung hero that we should be paying attention to in next season?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I probably should have looked at the show sheet here before I went into this. So we're gonna go into it blind, but it's okay. Let's see. I'm doing this by the seat of my pants here, so forgive me here, everybody. This could be across all three series, right? Like, is it
Yeah.
just are we just looking at Cup here?
No, all three series.
All right. I'll go Brandon Jones. I think he did not have a good year this year for Junior Motorsports. Did not make the playoffs. We weren't really talking about him a whole lot. He really just came up in conversation a little bit towards the end of the year of like, oh wow, this guy's really not having a good year. I think that his second year at JRM, he'll be a lot more settled. The equipment will be a little bit better than it was, especially towards the beginning of this year, because he was a little bit more competitive towards the second half of the year, as we saw like Mayer and Allgaier get hot. So I'll go Brandon Jones. I wouldn't call it a breakout year because he's been around for a while, but I'll go with a guy like him to maybe get a couple wins and be in the mix for the championship four.
That's a good pick. And Brandon Jones, certainly, I'm sure he wants to go and win races and show why he's in that number nine car next year. Now, mine's going to go into the truck series because I've been impressed by this young man really since the beginning of this year, minus the fact he couldn't race Daytona. Yes, folks, I'm talking about Jake Garcia, who finished 13th in points. That kid is super impressive. And I really think whenever we know where he's going to end up in 2024, he's going to do such amazing things in the truck series. I was really impressed with how mature he was behind the wheel. He got things done and contended for victories. The race at Darlington, in my opinion, folks, in May, I was like, this young man is meant to be a really good stock car driver in the future. So I'll go with him, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next season, hopefully in the truck series full time. So with that, folks, that is Podium Perspectives for this week. But what's your opinion, folks? Which driver caught your attention that didn't get a lot of publicity in the beginning of the year or didn't get much notice? And now you're saying, oh man, I know this individual. Why don't you let us know on social media, whether that's X, Facebook, Instagram, or even Threads? Nathan's handle is nsolly02, and I'm, of course, at Rob Tiongson, and our general one is at the podium finish. We look forward to hearing from you, folks, and we hope that you will tune in to each of our episodes during this off season. Now, with that, folks, why don't we throw it on over as Nathan Solomon takes us in the hot seat with Todd Gilliland.
Just to start, obviously, 2023 been a little bit unique for you, but just how would you evaluate this year as a whole?
Yeah, I think overall it's just been a huge learning experience. I think, like you said, running for two different teams isn't ideal, but definitely tons to learn. I think I've tried to do a good job of taking it in, learning different personalities, how to get the most out of different people, and because it's not always going to be easy, you're not always going to be dealing with the same people, and just life in general, right? So, I think it's been a lot of fun. I think we've had some good finishes, some bad runs, but overall, I think that's what this sport's about.
Obviously, most of your races have been with this team, but you were in the 15 before, the 51 before this year. I think you're in the 36 for one race. So, just what was that like, kind of bouncing around between all four of those cars?
Yeah, it's definitely different. Like I said, it's hopefully not something I have to do again, but it was fun, right? Like, you get to deal with a lot of people. Some are excited to have you. Some are, like, maybe not excited, but it's all fun and all a huge learning experience, like I said.
And then going into next year, it'll be your number five with this organization. So what about this organization has fitted you so well and suited you?
Yeah, I think it's more so just like the family type atmosphere. I think obviously growing up like with my family and racing, I think that's what I've always, you know, grown up and had him, my dad, like, you know, kind of steering me in the right direction. Where at some of the bigger teams, I feel like it gets you're kind of disconnected from that, right? There's just so many people, it's hard to have that feeling. Where with front row, we're still, you know, fairly small enough that we can make that work and still get the most out of everything along the way. So I think that's a lot of fun. And, also I think Bob Jenkins does a lot for the sport, a lot for our team. And, it's really cool to have a great relationship with him.
How much do you feel like you've grown and developed since you joined this organization in 2020?
A ton. Yeah, joining, you know, at the beginning of 2020, I was not doing well, and after a very unsuccessful run at KBM compared to what we thought we should do, and, just for front row to start truck team, pick me up, it was huge. Like, I never thought they would do that, and for them to do that was incredible to me. And then just to, right when I got that, I was like, well, this is cool, right? Like, they have cup cars, maybe I can make that jump. And then to make the jump now for 2 years, I think I've progressed so much. Like, just, maybe it doesn't look like it from the outside, but just, talking to people, working with different guys, racing against these cup guys every single week, it's definitely it'll teach you a thing or two along the way.
Seeing that they kind of built that truck program around you, did that give you the confidence to succeed?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think too, same thing, it might not look like it, but at the end of 2021, like, we were really, really solid. And, it's cool to see that those guys were able to, improve on that, get Zane as the driver and go out and win the championship the next year. I definitely take some pride in, of being part of that for, from, like, literally the beginning. Like, we didn't have a hauler, we had no trucks, no people, and we were able to get a great team, build good trucks. So, like I said, even though it wasn't me that was able to maybe, win the championship or win more races, I definitely still take pride that, that was our front row truck team that, just started a few short years ago.
Big picture, as somebody that came from that program, how important has that truck team been for this organization? Obviously, like you said, you won races, you won the championship. How important has that been for front row as a whole?
Yeah, I think, a lot of life is definitely a mindset, right? Mental space. And just to have front row's name, right, be up front, have it taken, more seriously on Fridays, and, cup guys watch all that stuff, right? So I think even if it just makes everyone think about it, front row being a winning team a little bit more, the guys in the shop, right, hanging up win banners, like, that stuff is not easy to do. And, no matter what series you're in. So I think that's just really helped the mindset of, like, this can be a championship team, right? Like, look around, these guys are championship winning people, and see what we can do to be better on the cup side and hopefully get there one day.
2 years into your cup experience, 2 years to the next gen car, what do you think about the car, the racing, cup as a whole? How does the next gen kind of suit you, like, all that?
Yeah, I think for me, it's obviously I have no other experience in, like, other cup cars. But to me, I was really surprised how similar the next-gen car drives compared to a truck. So to me, I didn't think it was really like that huge of a, like, experience jump of, like, I need to learn the car. Obviously, I came in at a great time when everyone was learning it for the first time. But I think the car is super fun. Obviously, we've had some issues along the way, but it's, working with NASCAR, that relationship with the drivers, it's like it's never been stronger. So just to experience all that stuff has been really cool.
And kind of to that point, why do you think so many drivers now have been able to make that jump from truck to cup? I mean, you have obviously done it. Zane's about to do it. Carson Hocevar is about to do it. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's hard for me to really say because I've, like, never stepped foot in an Xfinity car at all. But like I said, I was just personally, from the experience I have, I was very surprised how similar the truck is to this cup car. So, and then also, right, like, you got to look everywhere for guys that you think can do it. You never really know until you get up here, you do it for a few years, and I guess you kind of make you see, right? But realistically, you never really know. If someone has, talent, you see what they do, you're impressed with it, why not take that risk, right? At a time like this, when the next gen car is still relatively new.
Do you kind of want to get that Xfinity start to check that box a little bit?
I would definitely love to one day. I think, running all three at a place like this would be so fun. I was just thinking about that this morning, like, how Kyle Busch used to run everything, and I mean, it still does, but that would be really, really fun to hopefully one day, hopefully when I'm more established in the Cup Series, be able to go run some more an Xfinity race or two.
Since you've been here in Cup, what do you feel like your biggest strengths and weaknesses have been?
I think my strengths are usually long run speed. I don't know, and my weakness is definitely short runs, like restarts. I think that's one thing that I really need to and hope to improve on is, restarts, gaining spots. A lot of times we're negative after the race on restarts, kind of positions and all that stuff. So, that's definitely something that I feel like I can control a little bit as a driver and definitely need to be better at. So that's probably my biggest one going forward.
In 2021, Michael obviously goes out, he went to the Daytona 500, but I think there's certainly an argument that the last 2 years of this next gen era have been front row's most consistent since they've been at the Cup level. So how much do you think this car has benefited this organization from top to bottom?
Yeah, no, it's definitely more competitive, I feel like, right? Like this year, watching Michael go out and win a road course, legitimately on pace was, I mean, that's beating these guys at their game, right? The Daytona 500 is awesome and incredible, but to do what they did this year is insane. And I think that just shows me the potential of our cars, the potential of our race team. Obviously, we're not quite there, but for front row as a whole, it's definitely much, much closer to the field.
Seeing him go out and contend for wins, get that win at Indianapolis, does that give you the confidence that you can do the same?
Definitely. I mean, it makes you think that, right? I think you have to look yourself in the mirror and think about what is holding us back from that. But at the same time, I think there's definitely just gives me the hope that we can one day for sure.
Staying cool with this team for next year, kind of getting this deal done reasonably early. How exciting is that for you, and what are you looking forward to next year?
It's huge for me. Just not knowing what you're doing is never a fun feeling, especially in this series or this sport. It's really hard. A lot of times, that's what it comes down to. But for Bob to choose me and Michael as his drivers, I think that's it's super awesome. Great for me and Michael for sure to be able to keep building and know what we're doing. I think it doesn't hurt anything.
You've had two different crew chiefs since you've been at the Cup level here. You've had Ryan this year. Just what's it been like working with him? How do you guys kind of fit each other?
Yeah, I think Ryan is definitely the most intense guy I've ever worked with by far, and he definitely just pushes me to a different level of getting the most out of myself, most out of this race team, and we're still working on that. I definitely think he's still pushing me to different levels, so it's awesome. Like I said, you deal with a lot of different personalities in the sport, and he's definitely a very intense guy, but I love it for sure. He helps push everyone.
What can you take away from a season like this?
Yeah, I think, you take stuff away from every lap, every minute at the racetrack. I think, I think we're continually learning what the next year car wants, setup wise, all that stuff. I think you're learning every single week.
Going into next year, what's your biggest emphasis as both an individual and as a team?
I think just keep improving every area. There's definitely lots of room for improvement on my side. I think our attention to detail can be better along the way, and I think like you said, we need to be closer to Michael. Obviously, our goal is to be the best we can every week, but definitely he's shown us potential and get closer to that.
I'm sure a goal of you guys for next year is to make the playoffs, win a race. How attainable do you feel like that is now going into year three?
I think it's getting closer and closer. I think even a place like Martinsville, I feel super, super comfortable. The super speedways, I feel like we can be really good at. I think there's definitely chances out there. I don't know that there's like Michael being able to go out just yet in my mind at least, but I think we're not too far for sure.
And that, of course, was Todd Gilliland in the hot seat for this week. And Nathan, of course, did a great job, so give him some props on that, folks. And of course, we want to thank all the kind folks at Front Row Motorsports for making that interview possible during the Xfinity 500 race weekend. So you can keep up to date on what Todd does on TPF, and maybe we'll have him more on our show down the road in 2024. But before we go and close out this edition of our show, Nathan, it is just four more episodes starting next week till we get to episode 100. It's a crazy ride when we think about the first episode that we did with, I think, the Observers, Alex Andreev, who's, I believe, still with The Athletic. And then we also had Eric Jones, who still the 43 team, and now thankfully they're not going through an ownership change or legacy MC, but he's going to be driving a Toyota. And then of course we had my best friend Brianna O'Leary on the show as well, and she's still going to be around next season. So I mean, crazy ride to be doing this these last, what, 94-95 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I know we started it like, I think towards the end of the 2021 season, and I know we ended up missing a few in between just for some off-season stuff and whatnot, but yeah, definitely crazy that the show is, I'd say 2 years old. That's one of the first things that we kind of revived or did when I joined TPF a little over 2 years ago, so it's been really cool to see the progression and the progress of this show, and now here we are going into basically its third off-season, so looking forward to what more this show has to come. And it'll just keep getting better and better. So if you guys have any tips or suggestions or whatever, feel free to tweet us or X us or whatever you want to call it now. We want to do whatever we can to improve the quality of the show, for sure.
Absolutely. Even if that means you want us to change our theme song, folks, which I don't want to do. But if you don't like Candlebin Bowling, just let us know. If you're a musician out there, you want to give us a nice jazzy tune to, go for it. We're all ears on that. But yeah, absolutely. We care about the feedback of our fans, and we want to deliver the best product possible, whether it's the off season or the actual season of our show. With that, folks, my closing thought is, thank goodness it's the off season, but I will miss stock car racing for these next 3 months. But I'm looking forward to 2024 and just talking about the rosters, the tracks, and I'm sure Nathan and I are going to be talking about what races we'll be going to. So hopefully, and we'll remind you folks, if you're at the racetrack and you see us and we're not too busy, stop by and nudge us on the shoulder and talk to us, because we'll make time for our fans, to say the least. But with that, I think it is time to go and put a bow on episode number 95. So for Nathan Solomon and for Todd Gilliland, I'm your host, Rob Tiongson, saying thanks so much for joining us for TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of race and talk. Check out our previous episodes on any major podcasting platform, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. Tune in to episode number 96 next week, folks, because we're going to introduce you to a young race car driver by the name of Ray Ledbetter. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be great to introduce a new face to you folks. And Nathan and I can't wait to go and talk more racing with you during the off season. But with that, as we always like to say, let's all go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.